sets up behind the center, Chris Myers. Second and goal at the 5. Matt takes the snap, throws backside, caught, touchdown, Texans!
It's the X's and the O's.
That'd be cool, but I don't know if that'd be, you know, a little bit too cocky.
That's taunting. You cannot
stroke your beard?
Not over the quarterback.
It's the radio shows.
Yes, and it's out there because it's articulated by us. And we communicate that with all the agents, that they know that it's just our opinion that we want our players focused.
Conversations with the GM.
I think anyone who knows me and my kind of work ethic knows that I'll be back there in a minute.
It's all that and more, and it's Texans Weekly starting right now.
Texans Weekly is brought to you in part by M&G Bank, the official bank of the Houston Texans, and by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into the debut edition of Texans Weekly, where each and every week we get you up close, personal, and behind the scenes to all the Houston Texans happening throughout the week. Now, each and every week, we will have an exclusive, extended sit-down one-on-one with General Manager Rick Smith. We'll also tag along with Texans Radio, the Antonio Smith Show, which this week Jared Crick filled in. That's at the Texans Grill. We'll be there as well as out at Verizon to hang out with Kareem Jackson. The big news of the week, however, was the contract extension for Brian Cushing, making him a Houston Texan probably for the majority, if not the rest, of his career.
Obviously, this is an organization I love and wanted to be a part of, you know, for the rest of my career. And this was a no-brainer for us to be here. I'm a Texan now. I consider Houston my home, and just couldn't be more excited for the future that this team has and now being a part of it for the long haul. So I'm very appreciative, and I'm ready to roll.
Were you surprised that they you're able to work this out, considering, you know, the injury and stuff like that, you're able to do it this quick?
In some ways, yes, but, you know, I think Rick and I have stayed really close throughout this whole situation, and it's really monitored me and seen my progress, and, you know, I attacked it pretty well. I went after it, and, you know, I wanted to be healthy. You know, there's nothing more I wanted to do than be back on the football field for this team and for these guys, and, you know, Rick and I have had a great relationship, and, you know, he's seen me and seen the way that I've came back, and, you know, feeling really confident about where I am right now.
Brian, you've talked about how difficult it was when you got injured because you've never been injured before. And can you kind of just reflect on how tough that was?
Very dark time. I mean, you know, any previous injury before that was maybe missing a game or two. And now having a season taken away from me, watching the guys go out to practice every day and not being able to contribute was a helpless feeling. And it was something that I didn't want to feel anymore. And it kind of motivated me to get back and to push every single day. And now, looking back on it, I think it's obviously made me a stronger person, both physically and mentally. You know, and I'm just real happy now. And looking back, it's definitely made me stronger.
Of course, I think it probably sends a message to everybody on the team, though, guys like yourself, that, you know, getting back to Rick says about trust. I mean, you didn't, you know, a lot of organizations probably wouldn't have given you this contract right now. They would have waited to see what you did.
Sure.
This season. Can you reflect a little on that aspect of
Absolutely.
It?
You know, it's just another motivating factor. You know, having Rick's trust in the organization that they prove to do something like this makes me want to go out and just prove them right. I mean, I've never been more excited to play football than I am right now. Having, you know, this year taken away from me, a lot of critics out there, you know, asking whether I'll be back or whatnot or what kind of form I'll return to. I think anyone who knows me and my kind of work ethic knows that, you know, I'll be back better than ever. What I envision is being the clear-cut best middle linebacker in the NFL, you know, and I've never hid that. I've never not said that before. I mean, it's something that I want, you know, and I think that I can get there. I know that I can get there. Obviously, it's going to require a lot of work and a couple more years of, you know, dominant play, you know, but I feel like I have the tools to do that. And, you know, it's one of those things that I'm going to have to continue to work at, obviously stay healthy. But I feel that I can, you know, very well do.
Well, not only the entire Cushing family, but the team, the staff, the coaches, as well as Houston Texans fans, happy that Brian Cushing will be wearing a Texans uniform for a long time. Don't go away. We have to take our first time out. But when we come back, we'll sit down with the man that was responsible and put it all together, General Manager Rick Smith. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Joining me now, General Manager Rick Smith. And Rick, we just watched much of the press conference with the re-signing and the contract extension of Brian Cushing. You're obviously the guy who got it done. Just tell us, first of all, why it was so important and what this signing means to the Houston Texans.
Well, it was important because Brian represents a part of what we consider to be our core of our football team. He's obviously a first-round draft pick and a guy that impacts our football team and on our defense. And so we felt like it's important to keep those players around. And then for him, obviously, it gives him some security for us. You know, he's a guy coming off of an injury, but we have been so diligent with that process and so thorough with it that I feel good about that. So the injury piece wasn't really an issue as much as trying to get to a value that we could agree on. And I'm glad that we were able to do that.
Of course, and it was done just days before the start of the season. And that's, you know, something that's tossed out there, that the Houston Texans always get the deals done before the season starts. Is that your policy? Is that something that you do adhere to pretty strictly?
Yeah, it is, and it's out there because it's articulated by us, and we communicate that with all the agents, that they know that it's just our opinion that we want our players focused on the season when they are playing in the season, and so we don't want contractual issues to cloud anybody's play, and so we've made it a policy that we don't negotiate contract extensions during the season. And so when you're talking to a player or an agent about a player's extension, there's that deadline that's sitting there, and everybody's aware of it.
Let's talk a little bit about when you're talking about structuring contracts and things like that. When you go into a Brian Cushing, a big contract like that, or whether it's Matt Schaub's or, you know, whoever's, you often hear that other players, and in this case, Andre Johnson, have to restructure their contract to make room and to make these things possible. How do you approach that with these other players, and can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Sure. We've got language in all of our contracts, Patty, that give us the ability to convert paragraph 5, which is what the players make over the course of a season, into signing bonus. And essentially what you do is, when you do that, you amortize that money over the length of the contract, and it provides you with some salary cap room. We didn't necessarily do Andre to do that. Andre afforded us the opportunity to, you know, to get Brian done as well as to operate during the season. Brian's salary cap number this year compared to what it would have been had we not done the extension is very similar. But what Andre did give us the ability to do was to continue to conduct business. And he's done that multiple times with his deal, as have other players on our team. We've done that with some other players as well. And so it's a mechanism that we use, you know, to maintain our aggressiveness, to be quite honestly with you, about building this football team.
So whether it's in a salary, or whether it's in a signing bonus, or whether it's put on the back end, eventually you've got to kind of pay the piper. Eventually it has to catch up with you. Is that kind of, how do you weigh that dynamic, and how do you think long term to not let it bite you at the end?
Well, we've been fortunate. I mean, we don't have what's called not with club dollars or dead money on your salary cap reflects numbers or dollars on your cap that are players that are gone from your football team that have been cut, that still had signing bonus amortization left on their deals. We're one of the fewest clubs in the league that have very little not with club dollars. And so we've been good about writing good contracts and recognizing the value of our contracts. You're right. If you did too much of that, it would come back to bite you. But we feel like we've written good deals, and we've got good value out of our contracts, and we'll continue to do that.
Is the draft process that much more important to be able to afford those higher paid guys?
It is, Patty. It's infinitely valuable in the sense that the way that you build teams in this era of the NFL with the salary cap the way that it is, you have to have production and value out of your draft picks. And so player development is just as important. So we've got to not only have scouts who can identify the players that fit into the system, and then we've got to go and be successful at acquiring those players, but then our coaches have to be good at developing those players. All of that goes into the equation of how do you continue to build and develop a football team, because you're right, you're going to see mid-level players or players that were starters for you, i.e. a James Casey or, you know, 2 years ago a Joel Dreesen, that you're not going to be able to keep. You can't keep all the players, and so you're going to have young players in the pipeline that are ready to ascend. You know, so all of a sudden Garrett Graham emerges, and then you know, we draft Ryan Griffin. He has to be a guy that can replace those players at that particular position that we just mentioned. But that's an ingredient. That's part of the process that has to happen for you to continue to be good.
Well, clearly you're doing your job as we head into San Diego, and as you have this 53-man roster named this week with, I don't know what it was, 12 free agents, four of them undrafted free agents. Surprised at all with kind of how that unfolded, or kind of proud of the fact that you were able to bring these diamonds in the rough?
Well, a little bit of both. You know, proud of the scouting group that identified these guys. Again, I've got a great group of men that work with us and for us with respect to the talent evaluation piece. And so we were able to bring those guys in, and that's an ancillary benefit. When you can get a college free agent to come in and be good enough to make your team, that just helps you further along on your salary cap. And so proud of those young men as well. I mean, they the thing that you talk about when you bring guys in is you talk about maximizing your opportunity, and you're going to have a chance here. And if you maximize that opportunity, you will give yourself a chance to make our football team. And it's nice when you have, you know, some real life examples of that taking place.
All right, let's get you out from behind the desk and onto the football field real quick. Looking forward to San Diego Monday night, opening night for the Houston Texans. What are you most looking forward to seeing out there?
Well, you know, obviously it's week one, so it's important. And you want to see guys come out and play fast, play aggressive, play smart, and play clean. And if we do that, you've got to do that to win on this road. And obviously we've got an opponent that's opening at home on a Monday night. And so it's going to be a lot of electricity in the air for them. And I know how they're excited, but it doesn't matter who the opponent is. What we tend to do is focus on what we're doing. And so if we can have a good week of preparation, and that's the thing that we've talked often about this team understanding that they've got to go work. And so if we can just keep that mindset each day, the one fortunate thing about when we start is we're the last game on the opening weekend. And so it's a long way away even still. We sit here today. So if we can just maintain our focus and our concentration, I think we give ourselves a good chance.
All right, great stuff. Thank you so much. You can catch Rick Smith each and every week right here on Texans Weekly. Right now, we've got to take a timeout. Don't go away. When we come back, it's the Verizon Weekly Show. This week's player, Kareem Jackson, stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Now, as we mentioned, we'll be tagging along with Texans Radio throughout the week. And each week on Tuesday mornings, John Lopez and Mark Vandermeer host the Players Show, where they go out to a Verizon Wireless. Fans are encouraged to stop by. In fact, you can go to HoustonTexans.com and find out who the player will be and where the next location is. This week, it was the Verizon Wireless store with Kareem Jackson at 59 and Westland.
I cannot believe that you are entering year four. Of your career.
Can't believe it either. You know, time flies. Me and a lot of guys talk about it. And first year, and then next thing you know, you're going on year four or five. So definitely time flies.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The older you get, the faster the years go by, and there's no question about that. But, you know, you played at Alabama for what, three seasons, right?
Yeah.
So you played in the NFL three seasons. All which right. seems longer to you?
Definitely the NFL.
Yeah.
My first year might have been the longest. So, yeah, definitely NFL.
We understand that, by the way.
Yeah.
It was long for us, too.
so it definitely NFL, you know, with the 16 games and then the four preseason games. So, yeah,
and it's a year-round. I mean, it literally is your full-time job.
Right. You know? Everything you do is, you know, kind of dedicated to football, you know, as far as, you know, just body maintenance and practicing, meeting, just whatever it may be, you know, it's all everything surrounds football. Like I said, full-time job.
Kareem, what's your reaction? Obviously, you've heard the reports, Brian Cushing and the contract. What is your reaction to that?
He deserves it. You know, a guy like Brian Cushing, you know, he's a great guy, you know, on and off the field. You know, I think everybody here knows what he can do on the field. You know, he's definitely a physical guy. You know, he brings that. You know, that added, you know, meanness that we need, you know, especially at his position. So, you know, a guy like that, he definitely deserves it.
Was there a moment when you knew he was back, whether it was a training camp or preseason or whenever it was when, you know, because everybody has questions. I'm sure even his teammates were like, man, we need Cush the way Cush used to be. Was there a moment where you said, all right, he's back?
It'd probably be that the first play he made against Miami on the screen play.
That's the one I talked about on the show.
Yeah, he made that screen and – If he wouldn't have been there, you know, guy probably would have got the first down. I think it was like third and like 15.
He beat the one guy on an island.
Yeah, he was able to make that tackle, and I just thought to myself, okay, you know, I know he's back, and you know, and just the other day in practice, him and Ben kind of ran each other, and both of them just flew. I'm like, man, these guys are crazy. Yeah, he's definitely back though.
Kareem Jackson with us. Kareem, you know, you talked about the first year and the struggles and everything, and now a lot of people are saying you deserve to go to the Pro Bowl. You deserve to put together that kind of campaign. You probably had it last year, but it always takes an extra year. So Was there a moment or a series of moments where you felt like, hey, man, the light is going on and I see this whole thing differently and I can play differently and better?
I think maybe been going into last year just in camp, you know, I felt a lot more comfortable, you know, in pretty much everything I was doing as far as, you know, my technique, you know, seeing routes, you know, recognizing splits and stuff like that. I felt a lot more comfortable. So, you know, going into the year, you know, I just wanted to continue that, and, you know, and you know, be a piece to the puzzle, you know, definitely help this team be successful. So I think that's when the light went off for me.
Everybody respects Ed Reed. Everybody knows Ed Reed. But was there anything once he came here that maybe surprised you or you didn't know about him as a player?
I wouldn't really say surprised me. That guy is silly. That, you know, some people see guys like that and just think he's all business, but man, he definitely has a great attitude as far as, you know, just being an overall, you know, teammate, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, conversing with everybody in the locker room. You know, he definitely walks around, keeps a smile on his face, and, you know, keeps everybody else going as well, you know, with some of the stuff he says. So, like I say, he's definitely, you know, a great ball player, as we all know, but he, you know, off the field, he's very silly. But like I said, we're just looking forward to working with Ed. You know, he, like I said, he's one of the.
I mean, he's kind of like royalty. I mean, he's kind of like an Andre Johnson. Other players definitely. In the league, you know. And I mean, was that something that maybe I don't know? I mean, you're an affable guy. Maybe you went right up to him, or did you kind of wait to see how things were playing out?
Well, I actually talked to him before I actually met him. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those guys. You know, like you said, he's kind of like royalty in the football league. So, for me, you know, I just want to go right up to him. You know, I'm going to break the ice. You know, I'm one of those guys. So, I just talked to him. You know, we had a great conversation. And, you know, once we kind of met him, you know, it was all, you know,
right.
Good after that.
It's got to be nice to see him finally running around on the practice field.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, like I said, it's great to have him back out there. You know, we know what he can bring to the table. So, it's definitely going to be exciting once he's back 100% and out there, you know, going full speed.
All right, good stuff. We have to take one final time out here on Texans Weekly, but we're going to head across town to the Houston Texans Grill for the Antonio Smith Show with Jared Crick filling in. Stay with us.
Texans Weekly has been brought to you in part by Amegy Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans, and by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network.
Welcome back to Texans Weekly. As we continue to follow our Texans radio friends, we head across town to the Houston Texans Grill. Now, usually each and every week, this is the Antonio Smith Show, but with his suspension, his buddy Jared Crick filled in and joined the radio team, Mark Vandermeer, Drew Doherty, and DP Sadu. Let's check it out.
Have you thought of a character for yourself or a sack celebration? I mean, I think you need to start working on this. You only have a few more
days. Yeah, you
got
Drew Brees a couple of weeks ago.
You know, I haven't really thought about it too much. You know, everything that's really cool, it seems like everybody already does. So I got to come up with something unique. Maybe Tone and I will meditate about it.
I think you should incorporate the beard. Maybe you stroke the beard, you know, over the quarterback.
That'd be cool, but I don't know if that'd be, you know, a little bit too cocky.
That's taunting. You cannot
do that. You cannot stroke your beard?
Not over the quarterback. I think there are definite rules. I read that in the rule book.
Okay, not over.
24/7.
Facing the crowd.
Facing the crowd, you can do whatever you want with your beard.
Face the crowd and stroke your beard.
Is there a Duck Dynasty thing you could do?
Oh.
How about a little air guitar?
Maybe.
Because, look, you got Drew Brees. If you get Drew Brees, it stands to reason you're going to get your hands on a few quarterbacks this year.
You know, I certainly hope so. Getting that first one of the season, it was a good feeling. And like I say, one's not enough, especially on this defensive line.
You know, when you guys come in, you have J.J. Watt, Antonio. They're starting at defensive end. But you're going to play. It's a rotation that Wade Phillips likes to use, Bill Kolar. They want to see you get in there. And, you know, I don't want to use the word pressure, but there's got to be a little bit of that because you know the guys you are replacing are Pro Bowl caliber and then some. You have to come out guns blazing.
Oh, without question, but you got to do that even if you're coming off the bench. That's just the way, you know, Coach Phillips, Coach Carr, you know, teaches to play. That's the way you got to play if you want to get on the field with this defense. And just having the caliber guys on our defense that we do, you know, if you're not coming out and, you know, playing your best ball and working hard, they're going to get on you before the coaches will. So you're definitely out there playing for them.
You know, you're no stranger to playing next to great defensive linemen. You were next to Ndamukong Suh when you were at Nebraska, and you guys wrecked some shop when y'all were together those 2 years. I mean, what was that like, and what'd you learn from a guy like that up in Lincoln?
Just being the young player I was when I was with Sue, I just saw how he played the game. You know, X and O's, coaches cover that, so technique you kind of learn on your own. But just seeing how he played the game, how hard he played, definitely, you know, showed me the way to go out and, you know, how to play and how to be great. So, you know, it was awesome playing with Sue. I'm glad he's having a lot of success in the league, and, you know, I learned a lot from him.
Against Detroit last year, we all know what happened with Matt Schaub. So, that's the player that a lot of people see, Jared. That's the guy they think he is. What is he like away from the football field, in the locker room, whatever?
You know, he's a quiet person. He's very humble. You know, he's kind of like Iowa. You know, didn't say a whole lot, just kind of went about his business and did his job and stuff like that. And a lot, you know, you see, you know, a lot of people perceive him as a bad player, but he's just a really intense player. Kind of same way with Tone. He just go out there and they wear the heart on their sleeve and they give it all they got. You know, in my opinion, that's the way you got to play the game. Sometimes, you know, a lot of guys step over the boundary, but that's the nature of the game. That's the nature of this beast. And, you know, if you're not playing with passion, you know, why play at all?
What sort of things do offensive linemen say to the D-line to get under their skin during a game? I've always wondered, what is it that they're talking about? Is it just personal attacks? Are they just taunting?
It differs for players. You know, personally, I've never had an offensive lineman, you know, talk trash to me. But, you know, you'll see a lot of jabbing on the sideline and stuff like that. You know, I guess guys, you know, do the research. Some guys just go out and that's just how they are. They just say whatever comes to mind. But, you know, personally, I can't really say because no one's really tried to trash talk me.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. But as I mentioned, be sure to go to HoustonTexans.com and check out their website. Find out where these shows are going to be, what time they are, and you too can participate and be right here on Texans Weekly. Remember, next week, Antonio Smith will be back at his show, and that will be the first opportunity we will have had to have heard from him since the suspension. In the meantime, be sure to tune in right here to Fox Sports Southwest for Texans Countdown Live at 7 o'clock before the game in San Diego. Until then, we'll see you next week, everyone.